choosinghats.com, dedicated to the explanation and demonstration of presuppositional apologetics in defense of the Christian faith for the glory of God.
All right, so Christianity. Remember that Choi proposed, it is possible that there's a worldview distinct from Christian theism, and which is such that if it were true, it would provide a sufficient justification for the laws of logic. And he said that Bahnsen's tag, recall, is supposed to establish the rational necessity of Christian theism, and to defeat a necessity claim such as that possible worldviews, as much as actual worldviews, are fair game. So he proposes Christianity. It's a specific illustration of a possible worldview. Again, if it were true, it would provide a sufficient justification for the laws of logic. Christianity is a theistic worldview that holds the doctrine of quadrinity, one God in four persons, and is otherwise identical to Christianity or as similar to Christianity as possible given its quadrinitarian tenet. So, and then it accounts for laws of logic and whatever else in the same way that Christianity would. And then we talked about some responses pretty quickly. We read Michael Butler's response in full. Choi takes some issues with Butler's response. He asks, has Butler disposed of Christianity? He does not believe so. Butler asserts the following: if Christianity is otherwise identical to Christianity, the only way for us to know that its God is a quadrinity would be for the Christian God to reveal this to us. He says that Butler offers this as being true, but he thinks that there are good reasons for thinking it's false. That the Christian God is a quadrinity is something we know to be true in virtue of stipulation. Indeed, recall how I introduced Christianity earlier in this section. Consider Christianity, which is a theistic worldview, etc. He offered the definition. That's how Butler himself offered this possible worldview as well. So, Choi argues, we don't need some mysterious revelation to teach us that the Christian God, a God of a merely possible worldview, Christianity, is a quadrinity. Also, that the content of Christianity is identical to the content of Christianity does not entail that the means by which we know about the God of one worldview is the same as the means by which we know about the attributes of the God of the other. One is actual, one is merely possible, and our methods for knowing about actuality are different from our methods of knowing about non-actual possibility. Secondly, Butler asked all of those questions. You remember, he's like, well, what about this, what about this, trying to spell out, he's saying we need to spell out Christian theology. Choi says, how exactly does a series of unanswered questions amount to an argument for anything? My question is largely rhetorical, to which there's an obvious answer. It doesn't. Let's see. So he says, in any case, since many of his questions concerning Christianity are predicated on the erroneous assumption that that worldview needs a revelation, they are largely irrelevant. Finally, Butler's claim that once the specific contents of Christianity are spelled out, there is no guarantee that the result will be coherent. In saying this, however, Butler mischaracterizes the dialectical situation between Tag and Christianity. It's the job of Tag to show that all worldviews, actual and possible, incompatible with Christian theism, are incoherent. And remember, the reason for that is because we claim the impossibility of the contrary. Alright, so Christian objector to Tag need not provide a positive proof of the coherence of such a fully developed Christianity. All she needs to do to defeat Tag is argue for all we have reason to believe a fully developed Christianity seems coherent. So, that's where we are left now. So, we've had, 2 weeks to think about this? And I don't know if anyone else thinks about these things as much as I tend to. How do we respond to that?
So, one of the things I remember from last time we met that's been in and out of my thinking over the past 2 weeks would be that we're claiming the necessity of Christian worldview. And if that's true, then there can't even be possible coherent worldviews apart from Christianity, but there couldn't even be a possible coherent worldview because of the necessity of Christian theism for all of life. And if there was a possible worldview, that would negate its necessity.
Right. So that's what Christianity is, they say, is not an argument against the sufficiency of Christianity, but an argument against the necessity of Christianity.
Yeah.
So if there is even one possible worldview, right, other than Christianity, then Christianity is no longer necessary for the intelligibility of human experience, although it may still be sufficient.
Right.
So you may have the sufficiency of Christianity, the sufficiency of Christianity, but if they both provide a sufficient basis for epistemology, then neither of them is necessary.
They're both just possible.
Sure.
And that's exactly where my dilemma is. I think that's cool that this has worked out.
So what this is a dilemma of competing transcendentals, is what it is. Two transcendental worldviews. And how do we pick between them?
Mm-hmm. Especially when the criteria for picking is worldview dependent.
Right.
Even the reason we say, like, you need a revelation, you need a text. That has a lot of baggage to it as well. Like, you need a text as criteria for knowledge about your revealed God. I mean, it's not existing in a vacuum. That assumes that there still are criteria for knowledge and the way people are constructed and stuff. So it just gets so fishy when you get down to, like, the fishy is not the best word. It just gets so, I guess you're, like, just face to face with, like, your ultimate presuppositions, and it just becomes difficult for me to think through those things.
So we definitely also, we're tempted constantly to choose the one which is actual, especially since we already hold it, right, which is Christianity. But that doesn't solve the problem, because, again, we're talking about the impossibility of the contrary, so we can just propose some hypothetical, some possible competing transcendental worldview, and that refutes the necessity element of tag.
I'm still, not clear why it's not a problem in terms of revelation. Are we just positing that it's possible that Christianity, the God of Christianity, has revealed himself? Even though, because I understand we're talking about possible versus actual, but, like, given the fact that Christianity is a revelational epistemology and Christianity does not have a revelation, I understand we're talking about possible. So is it enough just to say Christianity, suppose that Christianity did have a revelation? Is that all we're saying? Because I want to say that's problematic, but he tends to see that it's not.
So we could say that Christianity is an actual worldview, which Choi definitely does not want to say that, right?
Sure.
But given that it's possible, what would have to happen for it to be actual? Somebody would have to adopt it or whatever, or have some book that says whatever, or, you know, something like that. But then in the realm of possibility, so in the hypothetical Christianity itself, it seems to me, anyway, and I think this is what you're getting at, perhaps Christianity is a revelational. This is speaking in terms of the possible realm, not actuality, but in the hypothetical, Christianity is a possible worldview which has a revelational epistemology similarly to Christianity, right? Or Christianity is a hypothetical worldview which does not have revelational epistemology, right? Which seems to be what Choi is saying here.
I think at that point, though, Christianity reduces to skepticism.
What do you mean?
Well, because we can't have any human knowledge of that. Maybe a quadrinity exists somewhere, maybe he does ground experience, but there's no way that there can be any human apprehension of that. At that point, it's the possible worldview is now deism.
But we have the content would still be there. In other words, it wouldn't reduce to deism, because the propositional content that we would get via revelation in the hypothetical would, in the case that there were no hypothetical revelation involved in Christianity, that content, that propositional element to that worldview would come via stipulation. I think that's what Choi is saying. You see what I'm saying? We just posit that Christianity is a worldview which involves a quadrinity.
Yeah.
However you say it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, so, like, assuming that that's not a problem, and I'm still not, it's not, it's at least not clear to me why it's not a problem, but I mean, two things, and that's just basically from Bonson's mumbo jumbo discussion. His deal is when we're relating Christianity and Christianity, I mean, almost sort of like the cult aspect, when we look at Judaism and Islam and see similar ideas when they're a concept of deity, but we ask, where do they get those concepts? Or should those religions then be to some extent commendable insofar as their God has certain similarities with Christianity? But those end up getting explained as in terms of their close connection and affinity to Christian understanding of God and revelation. So there's a sense in which there's at least some partial dependence upon our understanding. And then there's a question of two transcendentals. If there are two ultimate transcendentals, how then are they related to one another? And the possibility of there really only being one transcendental.
Right. So on the Van Til list, David Byron, whom Choi credits with coming up with this, actually he doesn't credit him with coming up with it, but I forget how he puts it. Basically, oh, here we go. Christianity is a hypothetical worldview made infamous by David Byron on the now defunct Van Til list. So Bonson, like you said, did, as far as I know, come up with it. That's the earliest case I know of. Although Montgomery raised a similar point with his mumbo-jumbo worldview, right? And he sought to answer this. First of all, he says, what, there can only be one transcendental in the nature of the case, right? Byron responds and says, that's fine, but why assume it's Christianity and not Christianity? Bonson says, where did you get your worldview? That's what you ask them. Byron says, that's irrelevant to having a possible worldview. Like, viewing the history of how we come to some worldview is irrelevant to the problem.
that a possibility.
Not just that, but if we're supposing that we're going to look at this now on some historical grounds or something like that, we're getting into an evidentialist approach, and per the transcendental argument and per Vantillian rhetoric, we reject that. Why? Because it doesn't provide certainty. We're getting back into probabilistic argumentation, which is where these guys, I think, a lot of them who accept Christianity in this counter-argument have gone, is just to reject TAG and its certainty and all the alleged truth of the rhetoric involved in that method, and have gone more toward an inductive thing. And so what they've done is they've taken away a lot of the elements from TAG. They'll still use transcendental arguments, but it'll be more Plantingus style transcendental arguments, or James Anderson has developed transcendental arguments which claim less, and they're much more nuanced than just saying, well, the impossibility of the contrary, which is fine in a sense. I think that they've done us a lot of they've helped us a lot in doing that, because it is more philosophically nuanced now. But I'm reluctant to just give up the entire thing, and I think there are problems with doing so. But so anybody else have any ideas before we
reuse it?
I can't really remember now what I was going to say.
It came up when I was discussing, like, when you get down to face to the face of your ultimate commitments, then I heard you kind of say something, but then David,
it'll come back to me.
So I guess I was writing this out. I read some Thomas Kuhn this summer on paradigms and revolutions. It seems like from that book, all we have are paradigms and like fishbowl looking at the world. And I agree with that, like the primacy of a paradigm and the way you interpret things. But then that really all he's saying is like, every way of looking at the world is just a possible way of looking at the world. There are all these different numbers, and they're going to grow and mold and shape and inform one another. But what makes Christianity unique is that what we're claiming then is its necessity. And it's like it is the overruling and necessary paradigm. in order for any other paradigm to exist. And like, so we have to talk about its uniqueness as a paradigm. And yeah, that's, it seems like that's where that's the heart of the debate. It seems like where these guys are going to, and they disagree with that it's necessary. Yeah.
Well, they might say it's unique, right?
Well, they're trying to take away the uniqueness with Christianity by making it basically identical to something else.
Right.
And let's be clear, too, that they may be saying, in one sense, we can't show that it's necessary, philosophically speaking, whereas perhaps Scripture says that it is. Although that's not always necessarily the case either. I mean, I think for whatever reason, a lot of guys who adopt all of the Vantillian rhetoric will see something like Christianity as requiring a whole lot of thought, and they see it as impious. So the argument, the response to Christianity is like you're thinking autonomously, you're just, you know, atheistic now or whatever. Like, these guys are not necessarily attacking the Christian faith here. They're attacking this particular argument. They are they're trying to be honest in their apologetic is what they're trying to do.
And they're Christians.
Yeah. So. I mean, they're Christians. So, at the same time, we know that we can critique other Christians based upon the fact that they do not remain consistent with their Christian presuppositions. I mean, we do this all the time, right? So, we're all sinners, and we all do that anyway. But there's a difference between pointing that out and then spelling out how exactly they're doing it, and making sure that the rhetoric is consistent with what we actually have, philosophically speaking. I guess I'll put it that way. Did you remember what you were going to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty similar to all this. One of the things, like remaining consistent to our presuppositions, my sort of struggle that I've had with all this, and then thinking of the Christianity thing, is how do I not be the judge on whether or not, you know, we accept the Christian worldview as opposed to like Christianity or whatever? Because, like, I mean, really, if we're really a consistent presuppositionalist, we would say, well, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's why Christianity is not true. But yet, something doesn't seem satisfying with that sometimes. It's like, well, I mean, it should be, because we're saying we're presuppositionalists, we accept the Bible as God's word and all that sort of stuff. But at that point, once we started going into the philosophy and the impossibility of the contrary and all that sort of stuff, like, how are we not making a criteria by which we reject other worldviews and we accept this one? Like, I don't get how... Because that's how the Christianity gets into this whole thing, is we're trying to say, unless you adopt our worldview, your worldview, you can't have any intelligibility in your worldview. And so that's how we're determining that our worldview is correct, because you need it. And so, you know what I'm saying? Like, but then somebody comes along with the Christianity, and then it's almost like exposes, oh, we weren't really saying that the Bible was our ultimate authority. We really were doing classical apologetics just like everyone else. We just had a different criteria, and we realized that their arguments were bad, so we had a better transcendental argument that worked. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what I can't get around, is how am I not doing classical apologetics when I'm when I'm arguing this? Like,
and I've had people who used to accept Vantillian presuppositionalism tell me exactly that. They said, well, Bahnsen was an expert apologist, but he was doing evidential apologetics, and he didn't know it. And I don't know how he didn't know it, but he didn't know it. That's what somebody told me. Well, let me work off that, and then and the things that Dave was bringing up, and I think that we can we'll see what you guys think about this. Okay.
Choosinghats.com, dedicated to the explanation and demonstration of presuppositional apologetics in defense of the Christian faith for the glory of God.
Believe it or not, there actually is a right and a wrong way of defending the Christian faith. Many Christians today believe that no matter how we present the gospel, as long as we're defending the same worldview, that we're doing apologetics honorably. Unfortunately, this isn't the case.
Many Christians commit the same logical fallacies as the skeptics they are confronting. In fact, for the last century, the majority of evangelical apologists have been working from an unbiblical and philosophically flawed method called evidentialism. In Jamin Huebner's new book, The Portable Presuppositionalist, you'll find a scholarly argument for a truly biblical approach to defending the faith. This book shows the problems posed by evidentialism throughout the 20th century, and how a person's theology determines the way they do apologetics. Complete with an original collection of essays, quotations, and never-before-published debate transcripts, The Portable Presuppositionalist is a must-have for any Christian apologist's library.
So first of all, possibility itself, if we're consistent presuppositionalists, is not some neutral thing.
Right.
Read Van Til, read Bonson, like, it's there.
They talk about that a lot.
They talk about it all the time. It's not some void, like, it's not, you know, because possibility itself, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's going to be contingent upon your view of, like, modal logic and these types of things, which we're saying you can't even have without a Christian worldview. Second, but of course, the response to that would be, well, yeah, of course, atheists, you know, say that Christianity is not possible, or the Christian would just say, well, yeah, possibility is rendered what it is by Frist, and, it, you know, so that's not
Frist.
That convincing of a thing, right? Or Fred, I guess, Frist. In the case
Frist.
Of Toy, but secondly, the Christian proponent wants to claim that Christianity is not an attack on the sufficiency of the Christian worldview. I don't agree with that. I think that's wrong. And I think it has to be spelled out theologically. I think it needs to be spelled out and shown that Christianity claims that it is necessary for intelligibility. Now,
Christianity doesn't negate its sufficiency to, like, account for experience. Well, I think anybody that reads it, like, faithfully, like, does a fair treatment of Christianity would see it sufficient.
Right. Well, what the Christian is going to say is, if you just say to the Christian, well, where are you standing when you're making these objections? Well, Christianity, of course. I'm a Christian. I'm not saying that Christianity is insufficient to provide a basis for intelligibility. I'm saying, given the Christian worldview, given that sufficiency, now I'm proposing to you, that, stipulating even, that there's a possible worldview that TAG can't take care of.
That's interesting.
That's what the Christian proponent is saying. But I think that's wrong. Because I think that if there is even another possible worldview like that, that Christianity is false or otherwise insufficient,
right.
And hence it is an attack on the sufficiency of Christian worldview.
Because you would never say, from a Christian worldview, that it's possible that Jesus Christ isn't who he says he is.
That's what I would think. I mean...
You put it... His TAG is not just TAG out here and then we're going to fill it with Christianity. TAG is the result of a necessary worldview.
God says that he knows no other God. He says, I'm it. I know no other God.
Right.
Now, we can put that in a philosophical terms and talk about possible worlds, and does God know that in every possible world, you know, there is no other God or whatever? And I would say, yes. I don't know how well I just stated that, but there is no other God. So, it's not even possible that there's another God, because if it were even possible, then God would be lying. If that is the case, then to even state that it's possible that the Christian God exists, we've already said that Christianity is therefore false.
Right.
In which case, you don't even have a place to stand in order to stipulate Christianity. Right. So, let's just say, and that's not even getting into the fact of, you know, that all the treasures of wisdom or knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus. You know, all of the classical presuppositionalist texts where we say, look, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. If you reject this, if you suppress the truth in unrighteousness, your thought becomes futile, whatever that means. Now see, this is where the work has to be done, is taking our theology and applying it directly to these philosophical categories and epistemology to see what it is that we mean when we say these things. I mean, I think that, I really do believe that TAG is in the Bible, but I don't believe that it's some formalized thing. Like, I think it's a primitive form. I think the argument is, as I said earlier, you accept God's authority. If you reject it, you're a fool. That's the and the person who rejects it doesn't have access, if he or she is consistent, doesn't have access to those riches of knowledge or wisdom that are hidden in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Right? And, I mean, that's the framework there of TAG. So, let's go ahead and say, on that basis, and like I said, there's more work to be done in these things, but let's say on that basis that if Christianity is true, Christianity is false. Okay? Okay. So, if we're consistent, consistent Christian, like, we have to say that. Alright. Let's now set ourselves on their presuppositions. The Christian presuppositions. Remember, because we said that in the transcendental argument, in our method, we sit on our own presuppositions, we show that something's false according to those, then we set on their presuppositions, hypothetically, we accept their position for the sake of argument, assume that it is true, to show that it's false. How would we do that with Christianity? Well, actually, let me repeat one other thing quickly. Show you how that might be done. Let's assume that Christianity, in the hypothetical itself, where we're just going to dismiss the actual one right now, okay? The version which might say, well, Christianity is an actual worldview. Because then I think Butler's argument would come into play a great deal more. But we're thinking in terms of the hypothetical, okay? The Christian worldview. Let's say that the Christian worldview, and some people present it this way, is based upon revelation. Why? Because it's otherwise identical with Christianity, is how Troy defines it. Or at least as close to Christianity as possible, which, by the way, begs the question, I think. But, so let's assume it's otherwise identical to Christianity. Well, look, now all we're doing is debating doctrine.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, isn't... Yeah. I think that's where you were headed. And where Butler, I think, is really headed. Butler is saying these things like, well, there's no guarantee that it'll be consistent. I think he just flat out needs to say, it's not going to be consistent. And let's take the rest of this propositional content given to us via God's revelation in the Bible and show doctrinally and theologically why modalism is false, why quadrinitarianism is false. You see, it's no different. Think of all the different cults that have come along. And by the way, that would be the same way you would refute the actual version of Christianity, just like you would Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness, however you would say that, the Jehovah's Witnesses and all of that. So on Christianity, it's false. On Christianity, here we go. Troy proposes that in the hypothetical, in this Christian worldview, the Christian or whoever we are, we won't know Christianity via revelation, even hypothetical revelation. That's how you have to read Troy here. I've sent this to him and he didn't pick up on that and say anything about it. So I'm assuming that we're not talking about actual revelation. He apparently is not even talking about hypothetical revelation. How does the Christian know this stuff? How do we know this stuff? Stipulation. He's already said it. Okay. So, we know the Christian God in this hypothetical by stipulation. In order to stipulate the Christian worldview, we have to have a worldview in terms of which we're able to stipulate the Christian worldview. In order to stipulate the Christian worldview in terms of Christianity itself, Christianity will have to both be in order to stipulate the Christian worldview and yet not be because it's not stipulated.
And by stipulated, you just mean have like a source of knowledge about it.
Well, I say that a guonk is a red bell. That's just definition by stipulation or whatever.
Yeah.
I think I stated that right just now. I'm not sure. So in terms of the Christian worldview, we'd have to be able to stipulate Christian worldview. the Christian worldview would have to both be and not be at the same time in the same respect, and that's a contradiction.
No, wait, it would have to be in order to ground the stipulation, and would have to not be
because it's known by stipulation.
Because it's known by stipulation.
Yeah. I think that's... I follow you.
Is that right?
I mean, it seems on face value like, yeah, I can see what you're saying, and I agree with it. I mean,
let's erase our Christian presuppositions. We're standing on this hypothetical of Christianity. The Christian worldview is true. How do we know it's true? By virtue of stipulation. How do we stipulate that it's true? In terms of itself, but...
Well, Fide isn't it true.
So it seems to me that it's self-refuting. At which point, we've shown now on Christian presuppositions why it fails, and we've shown on Christian presuppositions why it fails, and that is tag.
Let me point out another thing that I think is also trying to point out the difficulty, or the question of like the necessity of Christianity. Mm-hmm. I listened to your debate; it was very good. Something similar in your debate, and that I think is in Bonson's debate, and all these like sort of debates we hear. I always want. There's always a step that I always want to just be made more clear. And there's only so much you can do in a debate and things like that. But the step I always want to be made so much more explicit is this very thing of why Christianity is the necessary worldview. Because that's the point he always came back on you on. Okay, so Christianity allows to make sense of induction, or my worldview can't, but that isn't to show that Christianity must be the case.
Right.
And I feel it's the same thing. Yeah, and I feel it's the same thing with tons of these debates, all these famous debates or whatever that we listen to. That's always the thing that I feel that I want to be clear.
In other words, are you saying just because, say, Ben Wallace's agnosticism is false doesn't mean that Islam is false? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Which, or it doesn't mean that Christianity is true.
Right.
Exactly. Just because exactly. It's possible. Which is the whole point. In other words, we're saying the impossibility of the contrary.
Right.
And we're illustrating it with agnosticism, or we're illustrating it with whatever. But the actual thing we're proving is something about Christianity itself. We're not just saying something about your worldview. We're using your worldview to make a point about our worldview. And it's that step that doesn't get through to the Wallaces and the Steins and all of these guys, and I think that's also the point that's not getting through to the crowd.
Yeah,
I think that's also the point that we're trying to make. Like, that is the powerful thing. I mean, even if we don't see this or how it works, when I saw that was the claim, that was the point. You know, it's kind of a wow moment, and it's like, wow, I want to see that played out.
Right.
And I do, and I think. In here in talking about Christianity and the issue of necessity and sufficiency, I think that's another. I think we're pointing at that at that same problem, which we need a lot more clarity and maybe that's it. We just need a lot more application of our theology to our philosophy to be able to talk about those sorts of things.
Well, that's one more thing that I did mean to talk about is that Christianity, and people will deny this, I think, but Christianity has taken on so many different forms. Now, they could say, oh, well, that's the point. But no, I'm saying that the hypothetical Christianity, the Christianity counter that you're presenting me with, is, in most cases, something radically different from what somebody else offering the objection has offered. For example, Sean Choi credits Byron with making this problem infamous. But if you go back and he says, I don't have the book open now, obviously, but Choi says Christianity is not an actual worldview. For example, Islam. He says, but nobody, certainly not I, is saying this. Or certainly not me is saying it. I don't know, whatever the proper grammar is there. But if you go back and look on the Van Til list, somebody gets upset, jumps on David Byron, and says, why are we wasting time looking at hypothetical worldviews instead of spending time looking at real worldviews like Islam? And Byron responds and says, that's what I'm trying to get across to you people. Christianity already is Islam.
It already is an actual...
So, I don't know what Byron meant by that, but it's definitely not the same thing that Troy means.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that what he may have been suggesting there is that Islam could just as easily come up with a transcendental argument to use against Christianity, which I think then comes to a completely different objection, which is what we could call the apologetic mirror objection, which is this thing of, well, the Christian ultimately appeals to mystery and all of this stuff, and so any other theistic religion could do the same thing. But that's a completely different problem. That's not the Christianity objection anymore, because Christianity is supposed to illustrate, be an illustration of a possible worldview. By the way, that's another problem I have with it. If it's an illustration, then spell it out for me.
So, okay, let's take Islam for just an example there. So how do you deal then presuppositionally? Like, I mean, I've gone through this with Bonson, so I've heard him talk about this, but like being consistent presuppositionalist again, why not... Why Christianity? Like, how is it not just a flippant decision between Christianity versus Islam?
We can look at that next time if you want.
Yeah. Let's talk about that next time.
Yeah.
This is really.
I wanted to saw one more thing though on that. The other thing is the Christianity objection any different from just saying, okay, how do you prove the impossibility of the contrary? Do you have to go through and refute every single worldview? I don't know what we could call that—the inductive problem. You know, because it's not supposed to be an inductive proof. I've met people, I've had friends who have said, no, it is an inductive proof, and it gets stronger and stronger as time goes on.
Just a bunch of, reductios.
Yeah, just a bunch of reductios, and it's making Christianity look better, or whatever, you know. Like, I don't think that's what it is. But that's a separate problem. It's a separate but very much related problem to the Christianity objection. I guess the Christianity objection is meant to highlight that more. In its strongest form, I guess. I don't know. But I think that's a separate problem. I think the apologetic mirror problem is a separate problem. I think that appealing to mysterious revelation is another problem, or mysteries in revelation. And I think that other religious worldviews is another problem. I mean, we need to, like, parse these things out instead of just taking them wholesale. And I really did, when the problem was really starting to first be worked on, I think that they would just shotgun this stuff, and it would just, people were confused. Yeah. Of course you can't respond to it when it's constantly changing. Let's define it, let's go through like Troy did, and let's look at them and see how they might fail or might not fail. Also, as far as Byron's response to Bonson, somebody in the audience asked Bonson, so you're going to resort to evidentialist apologetics now. Bonson explicitly denied that. He said, no, I'm not saying we're just looking at history, although that is important, and you can do that. Why did he say that? Because transcendental argumentation takes into view entire worldviews, which would include evidence and probability and all of those things, induction or whatever. But that's not what Bonson was saying, and he explicitly stated that. And yet Byron missed that when he wrote it on the Van Til. So Byron was a sharp guy, but he could be wrong too. And we're standing on their shoulders now, looking at their work, and so I don't feel that bad being able to look and say, no, I think there were some things they got wrong. So, even though they exhaustively discuss these things, I mean, really, the knee-jerk reactions to the Christianity argument are pretty pathetic in light of a lot of the things that they fleshed out and discussed on that list with regard to this problem, so... I think what Bonson's saying there is not a historical claim, which I kind of strawmanned you into and you didn't know. But when you said, where does your worldview come from? I don't think Bonson's saying, like, looking in the past, where did you get your worldview from? Like, although he puts it that way. I think what he's saying, and this is made clear by the way what he goes on to say on that lecture, what he's saying is, what are you starting with epistemologically? What's your presupposition? What's your starting point? Because if you're saying, oh, well, it's just like Christianity with these few differences, then you haven't started with Christianity, mm-hmm. and you're back to a blockhouse method.
Mm-hmm.
But that would need more explaining, but anyway.
Yeah, nice.
So there we go.
We'll be next week.
ChoosingHats.com, dedicated to the explanation and demonstration of presuppositional apologetics in defense of the Christian faith for the glory of God.